from Edible Radio, your loyal to local voice of edible communities. This is Edible Travel. And now here's your host, Kate Manchester.
Hi, everybody. This is Kate Manchester, and you're listening to Edible Travel on Edible Radio. And today, we're talking with Stephanie and Walt Cameron. And Steph and Walt are the publishers of Edible Santa Fe. Stephanie and Walt were both raised in Albuquerque, and Stephanie got a BA in fine arts and went on to a career in the arts as a commercial muralist, a sculptor, a model maker. And then after having children, she began a career in marketing and web design so she could stay at home with her children. She built a small event company, Creative Sphere, and took it to the international stage over the last 13 years with her marketing and design expertise. And after photographing and testing a cookbook in 2011, she began looking at edible communities where she discovered Edible Santa Fe in her own backyard. Walt Cameron, also raised in Albuquerque, spent 14 years in LA as a visual effects artist for the film industry. He continued to pursue this career for another 4 years, and when he returned to New Mexico, he decided to make a career change. So he went to the Travel Channel in 2010 and found his new passion, telling stories with video. So Stephanie and Walt have a lot of expertise that they bring to their media and production company, Bite Size Media, which produces videos, does marketing, photography, and produces Edible Santa Fe. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hi there.
Hi, thank you.
So tell us a little bit about Edible Santa Fe and where you guys have taken the magazine. I know you bought the magazine, full disclosure, you bought the magazine from me in 2012. And I'm so thrilled every time I get a copy in the mail because I feel like you've really grown it up and you've taken it to a place that is beyond, you know, it was beyond my capacity. And I'm so thrilled and so proud of you guys and what you've done with the magazine.
Yeah, we are too. I mean, the magazine really has grown up over the last 5 years. And this last year, we feel like we've really just kind of started to knock it out of the ballpark. So we're super excited about all the stuff going on in local food, but also just going on in the economy and the local community.
So we get a lot of visitors to New Mexico. And in fact, I was there just last week and I know my favorite places, but what are some of the places and things that you would recommend to somebody that was coming to New Mexico? Somebody that's never been there before, what are some of the things that are happening, places they need to go? What are things that they need to know about New Mexico, particularly Albuquerque? I think everybody knows so much about Santa Fe, but what about Albuquerque, Taos, places that they might not know so much about? What would you tell them?
Yeah, definitely. Because so many people come and fly into Albuquerque. It's, you know, it's a big airport hub, but then they jump in the car and they go straight to Santa Fe and they don't realize how much they're missing by just breezing right out of Albuquerque. There's a lot to do here as well as Santa Fe. You know, there's several restaurants that have been around for a long time, and then there's newer projects going on, and the craft brewery scene has just gone nuts here. I think in the last 12 months, 30 new breweries have come online in just 12 months' time, and it's really cool because every neighborhood has not just one, but probably 2, 3, 4 breweries that you can go and taste all the different craft brews, and they each are built on a really cool experience.
And Albuquerque has also become a craft brew destination as well. We're right up there now, I think, with Portland, Oregon, or Boulder, Colorado as well. Not sure exactly what happened, but it just kind of went really crazy here. And now there are some really amazing craft brews coming out of the city of Albuquerque. And that is the city of Albuquerque itself. I mean, there's other great craft brews up in Santa Fe as well, but Albuquerque, I don't know why, but it just went crazy here.
And the other cool thing that happened here this last year is a development company built a shipping yard container community that is kind of where our two biggest interstates intersect. And he took all these shipping containers and built basically this little community of 12 different restaurants. There's a brewery in there. You can go in, you order your beer, you order food from any one of 10 different options, and then you sit down and hang out with your friends in this great outdoor space. And it's just such a neat thing, and has really been well received by the city. And they're looking at building more of them now because he's gotten such a great return on it.
So I actually went there last weekend, and it was really, really fun. In fact, it was really fun to see some of the vendors that were there, because they're people that I knew when I actually lived there. So Bocadillos was there, and they were selling, you know, tacos and pozole. And then there was another group that I used to know from Albuquerque that had a food truck, and they were selling wings. And it was really, really fun. And I think it was, I'm not sure if it was Santa Fe Brew Pub, but they had a place there. There was a cocktail place upstairs. It was really fantastic. There was a big fire going outside in the center. Really unique concept and really a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I guess we should mention the name of the place. It's called the Green James Farmery. It's really a great concept.
It's a great concept. I've never seen anything like it before. And yeah, it was kind of like right in that little armpit where I-25 and I-40, it's a great location.
Yeah. And then a couple of other great ones to visit in Albuquerque, of course, Los Poblanos. And the really great thing about Los Poblanos, and I know they've been featured in the podcast before, but they're actually going through a gigantic renovation and are doubling their room capacity and doubling the size of their farm shop, but they're also building a full-time restaurant out there, whereas before...
Wow!
Yeah, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, full-time restaurant. Jonathan Pernot at the helm.
That's fantastic. So Jonathan has been with Los Poblanos for a long time. He's a terrific chef. And if you've never been to Albuquerque, there's so much happening there, but Los Poblanos is a must-see. If you can't stay there... And I'm glad to hear that they're adding rooms, because that used to be one of the issues. They only had 6, 8, 10 rooms. But it is such a wonderful experience. It's an organic farm. It's been a working farm since the late 1800s. They've got beautiful lavender fields. I don't know if they're still doing the Lavender Fest in the summertime. They've got a gorgeous farm shop. And I'm thrilled to hear that they're doing a full-time restaurant, because the only time that you could actually eat there was if you were a guest. So now it's open to the public. That is the best news. The best news.
Yeah, actually, Jonathan actually went and did a stage at Blue Hill in New York.
Right.
And he learned a lot from them, and they're bringing a lot of those same concepts to this new restaurant. This restaurant is being purpose-built, you know, for the property.
Oh, yeah. And it is, I think, Los Poblanos, if I remember correctly, was listed as one of the top 100 small inns in America, maybe in the world. I'm not sure, but that was I think that was by Condé Nast several years ago. So it's a really, really, really special place. Oh, I'm thrilled. That's fantastic. So how about let's head on up to Santa Fe.
Okay. If we're going to head to Santa Fe, one of our new favorite places, it's been open for a couple of years, but they've really changed their system in the last year, is Arroyo Vino, which sits just a little bit out in the suburbs of Santa Fe, if there is such a thing. And it is this amazing farm-to-table restaurant that started with 3 raised beds and now has a full acre growing everything for the kitchen. He sources 90% from their own garden for everything he serves on the plate. And the great thing is the chef is really young and has embraced the idea of you serve what you have. The menu will change and serve whatever's coming out of the garden. It won't be a menu that he's trying to run around and find sources for. He's using what's specifically coming from his garden.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very cool. And then another newbie is Radish and Rye, and they actually rose to the top very quickly and have already gotten recognition from magazines like Condé Nast and Open Tables 100. And they're a small farm-to-table restaurant. They work with lots of local farmers, but they're like, I wouldn't call it a gimmick, but their thing is bourbon. And so they have hundreds of kinds of bourbon. And then they partnered, one of the partners is Quinn Stevenson, who's been a master mixologist in not just New Mexico, but around the country for the last 20 years. And he went in and designed all these designer cocktails. And people just love to go to Rash and Rye and hang out and drink bourbon and eat whatever appetizers are on the menu that night.
Very nice.
New kid on the block, which is actually not a new kid because the restaurant was there for about
80 years.
And then it closed in 2009 or 10. I think it was 2010. It was just reopened as an Italian farmhouse-style restaurant. It's called El Nido. And what they're doing is it's really family-style food. One of the things that's kind of neat, if you go in there with a large party, you don't have to order off the menu. You can actually say, hey, we would like a couple of chicken, maybe some potatoes and some veggies and stuff, and they will fire that up for you and bring it out family style, you know, whole chickens for you. It's an amazing concept what they've got going on as well. That's El Nido. It's brand new. They just opened, or they?
Yeah, they've only been open for 4 weeks.
Yeah, they've been open for 4 weeks now. Good stuff. Meat.
And then, Kate, our dear friend that you remember from your days here, Rocky Durham, is now the executive chef at Sunrise Springs, which is another, like, reinvented reiteration of a old-time staple of Santa Fe, but it's been taken over by the same family that runs Ojo Caliente. And
wow.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's like, you know, it's equivalent to Los Poblanos. It's a destination. You can go and stay the night, do all kinds of experiential activities, take cooking classes, eat amazing food, get massages, soak in the pool.
Tell her about the chickens.
Oh, and you can play with chickens there, too.
You can play with chickens. Oh,
that's
my gosh.
One of their experiential activities is they'll actually let you go sit in the coop house with about 40 of these fluffy little tiny chickens, so that you can learn about chickens and have that kind of a experience.
That is great. And Rocky is a terrific, terrific chef. I would almost call him an historian. He knows so much about New Mexican food. I mean, he's really been a student of New Mexico food for a long time, and he's a terrific, terrific personality, terrific chef. And I'm thrilled to hear that he's there because Ojo Caliente is one of the stops. In fact, I managed to get myself up there last week when I was there because it's such a special place. So to know that these guys have taken over Sunrise Springs, which is in Santa Fe rather than the, you know, hour drive up to Ojo, that is great news. This is fantastic. Good things happening.
Yeah, definitely. Lots of exciting stuff happening here.
And speaking of exciting stuff, one of the things that's happening in Taos right now, I'll let Steph explain that to you, but this is something very unique to New Mexico.
There's a new place in Taos called Parched, and it's actually run by, you'll know these guys too, Kate. the wrestlers, the twin brothers that run Seasons Inc. and Savoy, and the Gore.
Oh, yeah. We ate there last week. We ate at Seasons. It was better than it ever was.
Yeah, they're doing great things, too. And they opened up this really cute wine shop under the gorge, but it's not just a wine shop. It's a tasting bar, and they've got one of those awesome, I can't think of the right word for it, like a cuvee or something like that, that holds all the bottles of wine on tap. You know, put it in the tap and it stays at the perfect temperature, and then you just tip the handle and get your wine. But the thing that's really cool is you can go in, and the couple that's running it are from the distribution world, and so they're super knowledgeable about all these small, organic, artisan types of vineyards, and they're really being selective about the types of wine that they carry. And you can go in and sit down, order something off the tap so you can try it and see if you like it. They have great charcuterie and cheese plates and meat and all that stuff there. And then once you're done tasting all your wines, then you can grab a bottle and head out the door. And although it sounds like a no-brainer, and why wouldn't you do this, everywhere in New Mexico, our liquor laws are so challenging that it's actually just they were able to feed off of the gorgeous liquor license so that they could do this. But it's very challenging to open a business that also does package sales and does sold by the glass. And so they were very lucky in just the right circumstances to be able to open this place. And they are the new darling of Taos. Everybody is talking about this place.
That's really, really a lot of fun. And whatever Keith and Kevin put their hands on seems to do really well. They've still got 3 or 4 places. They've got Seasons, Inc. And what's the third one that they have?
Savoy.
In Albuquerque. Each has their own personality. We ate at Seasons last week. That's been a longtime favorite for me in Albuquerque. I think it's a must go. The food is always fantastic. The service is fantastic. They've got a terrific wine list. So I'm not surprised that they're finding success in Taos, but it's a great concept. I really, really love the idea. I've never seen anything like that either.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then, of course, if you need a place to stay in Taos, our favorite, your favorite, Casa Diana.
Truly.
Amazing artisan inn. And Richard, who owns and runs it, is just like the concierge of Taos and is the most amazing host you'll ever find at any inn in America. He's just such a fabulous guy. And you can grab eggs in the morning from the chickens and greens from the garden and make your breakfast. And he'll always bring you some kind of baked treat he made the night before. It's just a fabulous place to stay when you're in town.
I personally, Casa Gallina is still by far and away my favorite place to stay anywhere. And the first time I went up there to stay, I called my husband and said, forget a second home, forget a retirement home. This is it. I mean, we fell so madly in love with Casa Gallina, and I've stayed there probably 4 or 5 times over the years, and I love it. I hate to leave it. Every time we go, I'm so happy to be there, and I hate leaving, and it's beautiful, and they've added rooms over the years, and they really are. They're terrific, terrific hosts.
Well, I would say, you know, back to Ojo Caliente, you know, it's another great place that's kind of halfway between Santa Fe and Taos. And the thing that's really great about it, besides the mineral springs and the wonderful massages and all that stuff, is they've worked really hard to elevate the food out there. And I would say, gosh, 4.5 years ago, our editor, Sarah Winslow Fisher, and I went out and did a story with them, and we were sitting down talking to the marketing director, and she said, oh, I just don't know how we could ever be farm to table all the way out here. And there, and I said, oh, we can introduce you to any number of farmers that would be more than happy to, you know, source you and whatever. And so we kind of put together a list for her, and the next thing you know, 2 years later, they've got their own farm out there that is supplying the restaurant. Again, like 80% of the produce that they work with comes right out of that garden. And it's really impressive what they've done out there.
Yeah, I had lunch out there and I was really impressed because I think I had eaten out there several years ago when I was still in New Mexico. And I wasn't really that impressed. It was okay. And this blew me away. I mean, the quality of the greens, the creativity in the menu. There were 4 of us and we sampled each other's plates. It was outstanding. I was really blown away. Of course, you know, it was late fall, but they've still got things growing. I mean, they've got a greenhouse out there. They've still got things growing. I don't know who their chef is, but they are doing a really great job. Really great job.
Yeah. Must-dos that I have to mention is if you're coming in the summertime, you should really come at the end of June because that's when we do our fermentation festival.
This is to Albuquerque, by the way. When you're coming to Albuquerque.
Fun. Tell us about the fermentation festival.
So, you know, it's kind of this big resurgence across the country that everybody's going back to the preservation methods that are over 1,000 years old, the fermentation, but it's still a pretty new idea in New Mexico and is somewhat challenging with all of our health code and all that kind of stuff for businesses to get off the ground. So our hope was that by launching this event and putting a focus on the possibilities, that it would help grow more value-added products out of our farms. And Last year, we sold out and had a really super successful event. We had back-to-back education all day. It was like 9 hours straight of education around fermentation, and then you could visit the vendors and sample food and beer and wine and all the fermented alcohol goodies. And then we're doing our second one this year on June 25th, and we actually have Sandor Katz coming out to do a three-hour workshop for us.
Wow, this is great. This is really fun. Yeah, when does this happen again? In June?
Yeah, it's June 25th. Saturday, June 25th.
A destination, a great way to start your trip to New Mexico.
Yeah, definitely. And then if you're here in the fall and traveling to Santa Fe, then you'll definitely want to check out our Green Chili Cheeseburger Smackdown, which happens the first Friday in September, on September 8th. And we have 7 chefs battling it out on the grill, serving up 800 burgers to all the attendees, and it's really just such a fun event.
This is great. You guys, thank you so much. I really miss New Mexico, but I'm glad that Edible is in your hands. You guys are doing a bang-up job.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Edible Travel from Edible Radio, your loyal to local voice of edible communities. For more information, visit ediblefeast.com.